You just said that the Jewish people battle pornography. You're the guy on Howard Stern doing all this wild stuff. You're the guy in videos you release yourself. It looks like your grandson or some kid that you're table dancing on, grinding on him. You're grabbing, I think it's your granddaughter's or a little girl's breast. You're talking about my penis on air and just now that my penis is small and all the rest of this stuff. And you're sitting there, are a famous guy for you know, being, let's just say, wild. I wasn't going to raise the fact that you got kosher dildos and butt plugs. I would ask her, are you wearing one now? And then you tell me, do you have a butt plug right now?
May I answer?
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Butt Plug.
May I answer? Okay.
Do you have a model called The Holiness?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Liberty Lockdown. This is Clint Russell. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. Today, we're going deep. Nah, I'm going to keep this one shallow, actually. Superficial. I've been going too deep lately, and it bums me out. So we're going to keep this one a little bit light. The real showdown that everybody's been waiting for. And most people, from what I've talked to some people about this, most people have only seen, like, the 30-second clip where Alex talks about Mr. Buttplug. I know. For those that have no idea what I'm talking about, this is going to sound totally nuts. And it kind of is. But Alex Jones had Rabbi Shmuley on InfoWars for about a 30 or 40 minute debate. And I don't think most people have seen the entire thing. So we're going to watch a good chunk of it and break it down, because I think there's actually some interesting things in there and some analysis that's necessary that I'm not sure everybody picked up on. Most people haven't even seen the thing since it's not allowed to be put on any major platform. So this, for many of you, will probably be the first time you see it. So let's get into it. Before I do that, I just want to remind you guys, go to samtripoli.com. If you live or want to travel, but particularly if you live in Central Florida, go to samtripoli.com. This Saturday, the 30th, I believe, 5 o'clock p.m., we will be doing a live tinfoil hat. Myself, the Nephilim Dust Squad guys, Top Lobster, David, and Sam Tripoli, as well as some great comics, and it's going to be a blast. There's a comedy show right after at 8 o'clock, so it would be great to see you guys out there. Very rare that I do live events or live podcasts. So anytime I get a chance to, it's always a blast. The fact that there's going to be a, you know, full audience in a comedy club, like, weird. I feel like I'm definitely, you know, walking in Dave Smith's very large shoes on this one. So let's hope I can handle it. We'll see. Anyways, without further ado, let's get into the show.
Welcome to Liberty Lockdown. Please scan your barcode. Your liberty ain't gone, but yeah, it's on hold. Where did it come from and where did it go?
So before we start or run any clips, I wanted to point out what I think is the most interesting aspect about kind of the Zionist movement. My main concern with any sort of movement like this is the collectivist nature of it. And because of it, it also has a victim versus oppressor type of dynamic that I don't think ultimately benefits humanity very much. And I'll explain all this so it kind of makes more sense. But what I've noticed is that much along the same lines of kind of racial nationalists, black nationalists, white nationalists, they obviously perceive themselves to be oppressed. But I think what's even more unhealthy is that they collectivize their experience, they collectivize their pain and their achievements. And I think that that's totally nonsense, to put it bluntly. I think it's totally nonsensical to think that you deserve either blame or credit for something that you didn't do, but someone who looks like you may have done. And that goes both ways, good or bad. And I think that that's the main reason that I find Mr. Shmuley's argumentation deeply, deeply flawed, and why his defense mechanisms are fairly transparent. I think that anytime you want to progress civilization, you have to base it off of individualism, because otherwise you start to blame people that aren't culpable. And if you blame someone that's not culpable for an act, well, then they are aggrieved, and then they feel as if an injustice has been perpetrated against them, and they're right, because they didn't do anything wrong. They just looked the wrong way. And because of that, it breeds contempt amongst the races, amongst the religions, amongst whatever, the different nationalities. And I think that this is just a, it's a very natural process, unfortunately. It, obviously, we've seen racism and things like that throughout human history. So this is not a new phenomenon. It's just, from my vantage point coming up through the 90s, it was like that was kind of what we had gotten away from. And it felt as if, you know, community and civilization was doing better to a large extent. And we have regressed in a major way. And we have regressed under the pretense, the name of progressivism. Progress. Totally wrong. totally wrong. But anyways, I'm going to run some clips so you actually know what I'm talking about, because I think this is actually really interesting.
What do you think this debate's about?
Well, first of all, when I say digital decapitation, what I mean is that your arguments against the Jewish people are just so insidious. They're so unchristian. Do you think that we Jews are not accustomed to the world hating us? You think it's because of Hamas and because of the war in Gaza? Jesus was a Jew and they crucified him, for God's sake. Aren't you a Christian? You yourself are a Christian, correct?
Yes.
So did you not forget that Jesus was murdered by the Romans? Did you not forget there was a Holocaust of 6 million Jews? There have been people on your show that have actually denied the Holocaust or minimized the numbers. You've had people like Kanye West who said they love Hitler. I don't square your Christianity, your love of Jesus, the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, with your hatred of the Jewish people. It really confuses me. I'm not speaking now about a Jewish boy murdered at Sandy Hook in 2012, and the 28 others who were murdered that you denied. And I'm actually impressed that you still have the lights on, given that your $1.5 billion a judgment against you. I don't know if you guys are pouring your special powders that you sell and maybe they energize it, or you got little hamsters going on wheels in the background. That's impressive. I just don't get your hatred of the Jewish people, your lies about Israel since October 7th, like Israel went in to take the oil in Gaza. There's as much oil in Gaza as there is potency on the fictional powders that you sell. So what is your hatred about Jews if you're a Christian? I don't get it. How could you hate Jesus' people?
So he didn't even have any idea what the conversation or the debate was going to be about. This is Alex Jones open. He goes, hey, tell me what you think this debate's about. That's his open. His open is to say, I don't think you're a Christian. I think you hate Jews. I think every criticism you have of Israel is about your hatred of Jews. I think that you've gone bankrupt. I think you lied about Sandy Hook. I think you lost all your money because you're not a fucking real Christian and you hate Jews and you hate Jews and you hate Jews. That's his opening argument. Now, let me preface this with, I know for a fact the vast majority of Jewish people do not rock with Rabbi Shmuley. So I want my audience to know that too. They do not like this guy. He is a fucking shock jock, scumbag, butt plug salesman piece of fucking shit. Okay? So that's how, I'm pretty sure that's how the vast majority of Jewish people feel about him as well. So do not blame them for this dude's terrible, evil debate tactics. He is a really, really bad person. Really bad person, man. If I open up a conversation with someone and that is their first 90 seconds to me, I am jumping through the web screen or the whatever it's called, the screen, my webcam. I've combined the two. I would jump through my fucking webcam. It was so insulting on every level, so below the belt, so dirty. But this is, now you know what you're in for, man. What a terrible human being. Clip two.
You come across as a classic anti-Semite. You lied that Israel went into Gaza. You said this October 10th in order to steal the oil. There is as much oil in Gaza as there is truth in your fictional products. There's no oil in Gaza. Where did you even invent that? You've never been to Gaza. I have. There is no oil in Gaza. That's just an outright anti-Semitic lie.
No oil in Gaza. The unrealized potential of Palestinian oil and gas reserves. This is from UNCTAD. It's some sort of UN organization. I don't know. August of 2019, oil and natural gas resources in the occupied Palestinian territory could generate hundreds of billions of dollars for development. So that's a lie. Now, you would think that it would be obvious that it's a lie. And Alex actually calls him on this. And you will, your head will spin when you realize how he tries to spin his way out of this. Fucking incredible. But we'll get there in a second. This guy is, he's so bad. All right. Now he again attacks his religion. This is segment three.
And let me be clear. So many of your viewers who are religious Christians, who are indeed authentic evangelical Christians, they know the Bible says that the Jews will be blessed, that those who bless Israel will be blessed. The reason you're not blessed, Alex Jones, the reason you're bankrupt, the reason that you've had the whole country, anyone who's sane, turn against you, is because you have lost the blessing of God. Because you justify the murder of children, you say it's fictional. You lie about Israel and you give the Jews no right to defend themselves. You lie and say that the IDF actually has soldiers shooting little Palestinian children and bragging about it. What kind of, and that the IDF authenticated the videos? Where do you come up with this crap? And I'm asking you a simple question. Forget me, little Rabbi Shmuley 5'6". And by the way, if you have some kind of powder that can make me grow another foot in a month, sell it to me now or give it to me as a gift for coming on for free on your program. Okay. But forget me. Don't you fear God? Have you no fear of God whatsoever as a Christian?
All right. Can I respond now? Because you said a lot there.
Of course. Of course.
Oh my God, dude. I do not know how Alex stays so calm. I guess I do, because, you know, once you've been doing this professionally for a long time, you just kind of like, you become callous to it. You understand the debate tactics. You see them for what they are, and you find a way not to become offended. By the way, this episode is going to be exclusive to Rumble, because there's no fucking way in hell YouTube will allow me to play this. But yes, please do share around the Rumble link and let people know that the episode is on Rumble, because YouTube would not permit Alex Jones. They banned him along with everybody else that banned him a long time ago. But look, it's so offensive. It's so intentionally inflammatory and so deeply unfair to Alex Jones' position. It's really mind blowing. And we'll get into Alex's responses and his actual position, so you can judge for yourself if you think that he hates Jews, because I, for the life of me, cannot see how you could make that argument based off of what Alex has to say during this discussion. Also, to say that he's lying or that he's justifying the attack on Jewish people is just flatly, patently false. He is not saying that. He's saying there was stand down orders from Netanyahu for seven. There was stand down orders for 7 hours. Whether it was from Netanyahu or who it was from, we don't know. We should probably have an answer to that. And oh, might I add, having tens of thousands of Palestinians blown up, not a great look. And that's basically as harsh as Alex is willing to be. I would go much further than that. But setting that aside, let's get into segment three. Segment four. This is where Alex dismantles his argument that there is no oil and gas in Gaza, and your mind will explode when you realize the angle that he tries to take to weasel his way out.
They have found right off the coast of Gaza, in those coastal waters, massive natural gas reserves. There's oil there too, and there's
oil or gas. Oil or gas. Now you're mixing them up. Oil or gas.
I just said they found both oil and gas, but mainly gas, because on the way to get the gas, they run through oil, but that's not what they're looking
for.
So it's not
in Gaza, like you said. Now you're saying it's offshore. Is that correct?
No, the rights to it. You know that any territorial jurisdiction has 3 to 12 miles under law they get. So, yes, Gaza is also the water right off of it. Stop it.
I mean, snake. This guy is such a snake. So slippery, so slimy, so, terrible. Just absolutely terrible. And the argument is that perhaps Israel is interested in those reserves. And in fact, they have talked about, you know, there are interviews with Israeli settlers. I could have pulled up the clip, but you can take my word for it or you can find it on your own. It's true. There are settlers that are saying, we are prepared to move. We're looking forward to being able to acquire the property on the Gaza coast because it's some of the nicest, you know, beachfront or waterfront, real estate that we could possibly get. And we're ecstatic about it. Do you think that wouldn't expand to the government of Israel and having interest in the reserves there? Like, no, that it, no interest in the billions of dollars worth of oil and gas. No. You said oil. Now you're saying gas. Which is it? That's his defense. Just dirty. Just such a dirty, dirty debate tactic. As someone who now has done a handful of debates, I'm getting more adept at actually seeing people's positioning and angling, because I always debate in good faith. So I know it's weird, but I do. I always go into a debate trying to actually make my argument and hear my opponent and contend with their actual belief system and see which one can win out. I've now had a few debates, tragically, where I encounter an opponent who is not interested in doing so, and it's one of the most frustrating things for someone who debates in good faith to encounter someone who does not. Is like, it's pain. It's just pure pain. And that's an entire hour of this. That's what this is. It's Alex Jones approaching in good faith. Well, I mean, he gets pissed and he starts to take low blows too, but he entered into this in good faith, and then, you know, it's just totally derailed. It's so frustrating. So this is where Alex gets pissed and he starts to take low blows in response.
You make fun of the fact that on Purim, I'm dancing with my grandson and holding my granddaughter, and your pedophile perverted brain goes to holding my granddaughter as a form. Come on, how much hatred do you have of Jews that you have to go that low? You know, the sad thing about you is that you're not a stupid man. You're actually very smart. But you're so defensive, you're so insecure, that in order to protect yourself, you already hit below the belt.
No hyperbole, I think that this dude needs to be looked into. Like, his engagement, his behavior around his grandchildren is super, super concerning. And Alex, his producer, genius producers at InfoWars, were smart enough to have that tape queued up so that if he brought it up, they hit him with it. So, like, he couldn't just, oh, you're gonna make it sound like I'm some sort of pedophile because I'm just holding my granddaughter. Did it look like he was holding his granddaughter there? Did it to you? No, not so much. Did it look like he was giving a lap dance to his grandson? Because that's what I saw. No, it's just our sick minds that see that and go, that's fucking weird. I don't know if you've had any grandparents in your life. I've been fortunate to have a whole bunch. And nope, never did any of that. Never once. And if they had, I would have been like, what the fuck is going on here? So when I see that from this guy, a rabbi, mind you, a man of faith, a man of, you know, religious cloth or whatever, what the fuck is this? It's so strange. It's just absolutely bizarre beyond words.
Is it okay for a teacher to have sex with 14-year-old students?
You know what? That is a very fair question. It's a completely different question saying that she is a man. I asked you something different. Candace Owens did not bring up whether she was having sex with a juvenile. Candace Owens said that she is a man. I'm asking you, and Candace Owens said, I will leave my show and give up my professional reputation if I'm proved wrong. I'm asking you, Alex Jones,
yes.
Is Brigitte Majone a man?
I think she's not just a man. He's a pedophile and he's ugly. He's got a big old Adam's apple, and I believe the president of France's wife is a disgusting pedophile.
God bless Alex Jones. Tell it like it is, homeboy. I have no idea if she's a dude or if he's a he. I have no fucking clue. I will say this. What I do know is that she, assuming that she's a woman, was the teacher for Emmanuel Macron, and they began dating when he was a kid. Like 15 years old or so. And she was like 40. Super fucking weird. Yes? But no. We must pivot away from that and just go, why do you think that she's a man? I mean, it's just constant dodge tactics. Constant, like, instead of... And it's a smart debate tactic. Because the general audience, I've realized now, doesn't always notice the debate tactics. So, like, if you're totally oblivious to debate tactics, you may think, like, okay, Alex didn't have a good answer there. Like, I'm not so sure she's a man. Now he looks like a fucking lunatic. Whereas the real issue at hand is, like, yo, it seems like Brigitte Macron or whatever her name is might be a pedo. Because that's the real concern here, not whether or not he is a she or she is a he or whatever the fuck. But the other thing that he does that's really brilliant, and I want you guys to notice this, is that the rabbi will go on these lengthy rants, and then at the very end, after saying a bunch of shit, half of which I think is false, he will then say, now let me ask you a question. The reason he does that, and I now know this because I've debated Destiny and Tim Pool and a handful of others and a bunch of pieces of shit that I won't even mention their names, is that they don't want you to contend with the defense that they gave to your arguments, because you might point out that, no, that's flawed, this is flawed, that's a lie, this is flawed. They want you to be on the defensive so that you feel as if you must address the attack question as opposed to the lies that they just told. You see how that works? So that's what he does at the end of almost every rant that he goes on. The rabbi goes, now let me ask you a question. And then he says some, why do you hate Jews? You know, why are you such an anti-Semite? It is so unfair. It is so dirty. But some percentage of the audience will just be like, he got you there. And I've now learned this is like, no matter how much more moral you are in approaching the debate, if they aren't accustomed to watching debates, they will not pick up on this stuff. So I'm hoping that this will help you guys in analyzing debates moving forward and being a better audience, if you will.
How could you accuse Israel of genocide if it's about killing an ethnicity? Israel has 1.9 million Arab citizens who live as equal citizens, in fact, even more equal than the Jews, because they're not drafted to the army. They don't have to fight Hamas. Jewish soldiers fight to protect 2 million Muslims who are Israeli citizens. If Israel was guilty of genocide, the first people they would have killed would, of course, be the Israeli Arabs, who live in total safety. Number two, we Jews seem to suck at genocide, Alex Jones, because if we try genocide and we took over Gaza in 1967, there were 500,000 Arabs. Now there's 1.5 million. So the population has tripled while we're guilty of genocide. It's like saying the Nazis committed genocide and we went from having 18 million Jews in Europe to having 54 million today. No, we don't. We only have 15 million Jews left in the whole world because they killed 6 million Jews. That's genocide. You lied about the Jews. It's a blood libel. Then you said that the IDF actually acknowledged videos where Israeli soldiers had a smile on their face and shot Arab children. This is a blood libel. It's no different to what Candace Owens.
Okay, you have dominated. Stop.
I'm almost done. Candace Owens lost her job on Friday, fired by Ben Shapiro, because she liked a tweet that said, this rabbi drinks frickin' Christian blood, which is disgusting and vile, and you are repeating the same lies. Now, be a man, take responsibility, and say you're sorry.
See how he reframes it at the very end, and he puts him on the defensive, and he goes, now, say you're sorry. Now, if he doesn't, well, then he's not dealing with his opponent, right? He's ignoring his opponent's demands. If he says, I won't apologize, then it gives him an opportunity to go, yeah, of course you won't apologize, you fucking anti-Semite. If he does apologize, it demonstrates weakness, particularly because he's apologizing for things that he doesn't actually believe and he probably has never said. So it's a total trap. I mean, it's a pathetic trap. It's a very transparent trap that no one in the audience should see any viable argumentation in, but some people will. And that's all this guy does. He has very little of actual, merit to his arguments, but it's more just like bombast and attack mode so that you're constantly on your heels. And setting all that aside, I just want to say the fact that the population of Gaza has increased over the past 50 years, well, populations do normally increase. So the fact that you're arguing that this isn't a genocide because the population has increased before you invaded and blew up tens of thousands of them really isn't a great argument. Because what it amounts to, this is my opinion, is that this is essentially a concentration camp, but it's a concentration camp with relative freedom within it, within the prison, and you are able to reproduce, and therefore you have. So your population has increased in size, but it doesn't deal with the fact that you're in a fucking concentration camp, okay? It's not a death camp yet. It seems like it may be a death camp now, given that you have migrated these people all the way from Gaza City all the way down to the last strip of land in Rafah. And you are now shelling that as well, with a million plus people there and countless children. I mean, it's crazy because it's such a horror of the reality of what's transpiring right now. I honestly believe that obviously there's many people that stand with Israel that do not take on this approach, but there are many that do. And they argue that, or they try and make it so that you cannot question whatever it takes to deal with Hamas because of what happened on October 7th means that you are arguing that Israel has no right to defend themselves. And if you believe that Jews don't have a right to defend themselves, well, then you're an anti-Semite. Now, if you actually believe that Jews don't have a right to defend themselves, I'd say you probably are an anti-Semite. But that's, you still have to deal with the historical reasons that this has come to pass. And you also have to deal with, well, can you defend yourself without killing innocents that had nothing to do with October 7th? Because I think that's really what most people that are horrified by this are saying. Because most people, even the pro-Palestinian side in America, are not arguing that what happened on October 7th, most people, so there's some lunatics, but most people are not arguing that what happened on October 7th by Hamas was good or acceptable. Most of us perceive it to be horrific and evil to its core. But you have a right to go after the perpetrators. You have a right to go after the organizers. You have to have a right to go after whoever funded it. You don't have a right to blow up children by the tune of 10,000 plus. You don't have that right. And that is the actual argument. If you want to deal in good faith, you can contend with that argument as opposed to just smearing your opponent and calling them an anti-Semite and saying that they hate Jews when they don't. Because most of the people that I talk to that I know that share my opinion on this issue don't have any animosity towards Jewish people whatsoever. Crazy.
I don't want to be the Muslims' enemy or the Jews' enemy. That's not me having a moral problem and I'm this wimp who can't make a decision. I'm saying I'm not obsessed with Israel, even though I love history and have studied it some. It's very interesting. And I'm not against the Muslims. And I'm trying to sit here and say, I didn't like October 7th. I said it was wrong at the time. And I said they should kill the leaders of Hamas. But I said, if Israel goes into this trap and carpet bombs all of it, they will get most of Hamas, but it'll make them stronger in the end, which Trump has now said, and many other people that are smart have said, and that is incredibly destructive and wrong. And then I see the countless videos of just wholesale shooting and bombing and blowing up groups of people, and you can't, don't interrupt, you can't tell me that this is strategic or this is precision. And in you say, well, we don't care, we've always been attacked, we don't care how this looks. I've never seen the whole world, I'd say 80% of people who've even been pro-Israel turn against Israel. And I'm simply saying, I know Israel's a tiny country. I want it to be able to operate and live in peace. But this is destroying not just the Palestinians, but I think we'll end up destroying Israel in the end. And then they're going to bring to Europe and the United States, who survives, all these pissed off Muslims. That is wrong. And then I'm sitting back looking at all of this and simply trying to stop this clash of civilizations that's happening. Like, I'm not pro-Russia, I'm not pro-Ukraine, but I'm against the whole war, and I'm trying to stop it. It's not a moral issue that I've not taken aside. I'm not Ukrainian, I'm not Russian. This is World War III. All the analysts admit it's escalating into full nuclear war. I like living, and I want this to stop. And so there is definitely, in my view, a chutzpah with the Christian Zionists and with some of the radical right-wing folks in Israel that simply think that people can say and do whatever they want. And it's well documented that Rachel Corrie gets run over by the bulldozer and people make jokes about it, or that there's videos. I mean, this latest film got leaked out of the Israeli Defense Ministry of the drone missiles raining down on kids walking up, you know, the middle of a dirt road, trying to go back to their house, and they're being killed. And to say to Israel, you shouldn't herd them all up to the sea and then start bombing them in Rafah, A, those are children, B, that looks bad. And you asked me the genocide question, and then you immediately interrupted because I had the definition. And yes, the Genocide Convention is 1947-48, directly off of a response to Hitler's Final Solution that was on record that they were going to try to exterminate all the Jews. That is a fact that happened. And so I see the Nazis denying Hitler ever did that. And then I see what's happening in Israel and what's happening in Gaza and this bombing campaign herding everybody into this area and doing this, and the world sees it as shooting fish in a barrel and sees it like Skynet with this, one of the most powerful militaries in the world for its size, one of the most high-tech, probably the most high-tech. Nobody denies that there's incredible technology and developments everywhere in Israel. No one denies Jews aren't smart. And we're watching this, and it feels like we're watching Goliath sit there and basically rape David. It doesn't look good. And I'm going to play you a video, and you can respond. I only want 3 minutes. I get one more minute. Here's a video yesterday of a girl with her leg blown off in Rafah, a 7-year-old girl. And I'm telling you, I've heard Benjamin Netanyahu, we can play the clip, about Amalek invoking the Old Testament when groups were slaughtering each other. And I'm saying that was the time, because they would do that too, saying you kill the women, the children, their animals, their men, they're all cursed, they're all evil, kill them all. He invokes that, and that's how they're bringing the war crimes charges and genocide crimes, because he says it is an extermination. And I see the Israeli pundits everywhere, I could play hours of it here, saying we're going to wipe them all out because those kids are going to grow up to kill us. And it's like, you kill them, more Muslims come. They're having 5-6 kids apiece, so I can see where this leads. So
weird time to plug Phoenix Ammunition, but I'm going to do it anyways, because they're the best ammunition company in the world, or certainly in America. I can't speak for the world, but probably. Certainly the most based on the planet. Phoenix Ammunition. Go to phoenixammo.com. If you are running low, only one place to go. That's Phoenix Ammo, bro. Yo. Phoenixammo.com. They do not sell to cops. They do not sell to the military. They sell only to the people that the Second Amendment was written for. How fucking base is that? These guys don't want to profit off of selling ammunition to your oppressors. God bless them. PhoenixAmmo.com. You don't need a promo code, because they always give you a discount if you buy in bulk. And you probably ought to be buying in bulk, because the apocalypse is coming. The CERN Large Hadron Collider is going to be turned back on in a couple weeks. There's a solar eclipse, lunar eclipse, and it's crisscrossing over fucking some cities that are named Nineveh or whatever. And it's all, yeah, the world's ending. So you're going to need some ammo. PhoenixAmmo.com. Go get you some. I don't think that anything Alex said there was wrong. I don't think that it was morally weak or playing both sides or not taking a position. I think that it was very cogent, actually fairly concise, despite the fact that it was a 5-minute rant. I just think that he nailed it, honestly. Whether or not you agree with him, that is almost exactly how I feel about all of this. And as best I can tell, because I've read and seen the videos that he's seen, and by the way, I didn't know what Alex Jones' opinion on this was entering this debate. I honestly don't watch his show regularly. I don't listen to him. So I'll see clips that go viral and things like that, but I didn't know his position on this. So, I'll be honest, it was heartening. It was heartening to hear such an eloquent, explanation that matches my own estimation of what's transpired so far and why it's so perilous, setting aside the fact that it's morally reprehensible to kill thousands and thousands of kids, or innocent people for that matter, because adults matter too. I know we always talk about the children, but innocent adults that are murdered by the tens of thousands, also not acceptable at all. I just thought it was beautiful that he was willing to lay all that out, and then to also explain the overarching principle by which we oppose this is that it is very probable that this can escalate into a world war. If you include Russia, Ukraine, and Israel, Palestine, and then the Iranian aspects, and then China, Taiwan, like there's way too many potential fronts. And as someone who, even though I would love to see the innocents in Israel and Palestine stop dying, my biggest concern, the overarching principle, is that I do not want to see a wider war, and I do not want to see my countrymen or my family damaged by this reckless behavior. And I think that he lays out the argument quite well. Now, let's take a guess as to how Rabbi Shmuley responds. It's not great.
Let me be direct, unequivocal, and clear. Your disgusting comparison of what Israel's doing in Gaza to the Nazi Germany Holocaust is the very essence of anti-Semitism and the ultimate blood libel. Now, let me be clear, because you said that you like history. There were two great American military inventions in the Second World War. The greatest was Oppenheimer and the atomic bomb. It just won the Academy Award. The second was the Norden bomb sight. The Norden bomb sight allowed the United States, they claimed, from 30,000 feet in these B-17s, super fortresses, to drop a bomb even in a pickle barrel from 30,000 feet. The Americans bombed only during the day. It was called precision daytime bombing. And Churchill said, are you guys crazy? Letting your pilots die? America lost three times as many pilots per capita. He said, bomb at night, indiscriminately. That's what the British did. They hit no targets, but they terrorized the German population. There's a phenomenal Apple TV series right now called Masters of the Air that really captures it, but an even better best-selling book by Malcolm Gladwell called The Bomber Mafia. The United States used precision bombing. That's exactly what Israel does, because Israel is like the United States. We are a moral nation, which is why so many hundreds of soldiers. Remember, every time Israel loses one soldier, that's the United States losing 35 soldiers. When Israel, so on October 7th, Israel lost the equivalent of 60,000 Americans slaughtered in a day. What would the United States have done? Look at what we did after 1-9-11, which you kind of blame on Mossad and the Jews, which is also gross. We went to war in Afghanistan for 20 years after that attack. So you're going to say we did it. I don't want to hear your conspiracy theories. And in Iraq for 15 years. For you to say that these innocent, beautiful Palestinian children who have their legs blown off because Hamas uses them as bulletproof vests, as human shields, because Hamas builds their military headquarters under friggin' hospitals, builds their military headquarters under nurseries. Alex, you live in Austin, Texas, correct? When's the last time you saw an F-15 landing outside, or an Apache helicopter gunship, or a Black Hawk landing across the street on the baseball field in your neighborhood? Answer, never, because America doesn't put its military bases in middle of downtown Dallas. It puts them on the side because, unlike Hamas, who wants Palestinians to die, they want people like you, gullible Alex Jones, to take the bait. It's a win-win. If the Israelis kill Palestinians, it's a win for them, because and Israel doesn't want to. Every one of those Palestinians is the equal child of God, as our Bible says, the Hebrew Bible, Genesis chapter 1. But if the Israelis kill Palestinians, it's a PR win. Here's Alex Jones attacking Rabbi Shmuley over it.
Wow. So Alex lays out his entire case, and that is his response. And what I find interesting, once again, just pointing out the debate tactic, he says, now you're attacking Rabbi Shmuley. He personalizes it, because from the rabbi's perspective, he functions from a collective, from an identitarian mindset. So any criticism of the IDF, any criticism of Israel's behavior, militaristically or otherwise, is ultimately a condemnation of Rabbi Shmuley himself. Now, in reality, the condemnation does apply to Rabbi Shmuley, because he endorses and vocally advocates on behalf of the IDF's tactics and calls everybody who disagrees with it an anti-Semite out the gate. But totally doesn't actually deal with the argument, right? Like, the justification that he tries to throw back in his face is, what happened after 9/11, Alex? You went to war for 20 years in Afghanistan and 15 years in Iraq. True! That's the whole reason that we're so anti-war at this point, because we realize that innocents to the tunes of thousands and thousands died needlessly, not to mention our own troops. It was horrific. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if you include famine and starvation and things like that. It was a disaster. That is not, you can't point at the war, the global war on terror, and argue that that was a raging success. That was moral? We invaded Iraq on a lie. I mean, I don't even know for sure what Alex's perspective was on the global war on terror in the early days, but given that he was very skeptical as to the explanation of Bin Laden and 9/11, I would imagine that he was not in favor of the war on terror. So you can't point to that. Now, if you're talking to an American, you know, Republican, GOP, neocon-ish type, old Bush supporter types, that argument may fly. Even for them, though, they could say, well, I saw what happened and I don't agree with it, and this is why I think what you're doing is wrong. But for someone like me and someone like Alex, it really doesn't work because we opposed it from fucking Jump Street. So what are you talking about, dude? There's no justification for killing thousands of innocent people. Tens of thousands. That's what we're talking about. Very rapidly. If you look at the actual amount of civilians killed in Ukraine, if you look at it, even in the war on terror, like, this is very, very bad. Very rapid. For modern times, it's basically unheard of. So this is to argue, no, we're just like the Americans, and we bombed during the day, precision targeted strikes. No, motherfucker, you've not. You don't. The IDF is not. Okay? They're not. And he's lying. They may claim that it's precision targeted, but it ain't precision targeted on Hamas. And might I add, if you're going to argue, the whole reason we have to do this is because Hamas puts its military bases under hospitals. Why do they do that, Rabbi? If there was one thing I would have implored Alex to fire back with is, why do they have their military bases under hospitals? Which, by the way, there's lots of arguments as to whether or not they do. But if they do, just taking it at face value, assume that they do for a second. The reason is because they aren't an actual government. Because they aren't permitted to have a military. It is, as Dave Smith has described it many times, they are the strongest gang in an open-air prison. So yeah, when they're training and arming up and trying to create a military, they have to do it secretly. They have to hide it. So they hide it. I mean, it's like, but that's you can only point to that and say it's cowardice if you're not willing to deal with the circumstances by which Hamas arose. You understand? So it's all so sneaky. Number 11.
Cut the crap. Hamas wants to annihilate the Jewish people. They have stolen every last penny of the $150 billion given to them by the international community. That is three times per capita of the Marshall Plan that rebuilt Britain, Belgium, France, Germany. And you know what Hamas did with that? They stole it. Ismail Haniyeh, you wish that your powder sold a thousandth of the $7 billion this man is worth as he lives in utter luxury in a Pentagon, in a penthouse in Qatar, flying in his private jet. Or Khalil Mashad worth $4 billion. Alex Jones, let me ask you a question. I also mourn the suffering of my Palestinian brothers and sisters as they are used as bulletproof shields, human shields by Hamas. But let me ask you a question. For the past 18 years, when Hamas stole all the food of those poor Palestinian kids in Gaza, when Israel had left, for the past 18 years, when they made themselves billionaires, when Yasser Arafat died on the Forbes 400 list, the ultimate kleptocrat, and his wife today lives in a penthouse in the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Paris, where were you, Alex Jones, then to care about the plight of the Palestinians? Answer, you were silent.
Okay.
And why? Because you don't give a damn right, about
Palestinians.
You just care about condemning condemning Jews, and condemning Jews.
Pretty fair debate tactics, huh? It's all about, you didn't care, you just want to condemn the Jews. Look, the reason that most American non-interventionists, which I would include Alex in that camp for sure, the reason most American non-interventionists didn't have a lot to say about Israel-Palestine before is because we don't want to intervene. Because it's not our business. Many libertarians, many non-interventionists are the types that would still write articles about it and speak out about it because they thought that it was an injustice. But many of us, I'll include myself in this camp, didn't really investigate it, didn't research it very much because it wasn't our business. And ultimately, I feel like anytime I talk about a foreign issue, it's only going to be used as justification for intervention. And oftentimes, if it is going to be intervention, it's going to be intervention on the side that I don't think is even in the moral, right position. So that's my main perspective on it.
I've never been a friend of corrupt Islamic governments and groups, and I am not a fan of expansionist or Orthodox Islam coming into the West, that we have all these major charities bringing in, and your little buddies over at the ADL. Let me finish. So that claim, I absolutely said kill the leaders of Hamas on October 7th. And I said they live in all these other countries around there and they suck the money out. So the claim that I like Hamas is preposterous. Israel helped found Hamas in 1977, AP Reuters, it's on record, to destabilize the region and make sure legitimate government. I've seen Netanyahu in a Jewish home bragging about it 10 years ago. We've played the clip. So I'm not anti-Israel, that I don't like Israel helping found Hamas. I don't like the left allied with them. I see Ilhan Omar and AOC promoting them. That's what I'm saying. You got me wrong. That's why I say I'm not in either group. I'm an American sovereign citizen trying to have prosperity and freedom, and I don't want this weird, ancient, multi-thousand-year-old Abrahamic war to dominate my life. But then you go on. October 7th was terrible, and even Israeli newspapers admit, and Netanyahu pointed the fingers at the military, they pointed at him. I don't know who did the stand down. But as you know, you got two sons in the IDF. You're over there all the time. Israel, you can drive across the whole country in an hour. They had attack helicopters 5 minutes away. They had all this stuff. There was a stand down. The most militarized country other than like North Korea in the world stood down for 7+ hours. And Netanyahu said, well, once the war is over, we'll then investigate. But now we're told the war is never going to end. But I don't just blame Israel. I see Biden giving $6 billion to Iran, to Hezbollah, which I said on October 7th on a live show on that Saturday, clearly is funding Hamas and is involved, which they now, Iran admits it, Israeli intelligence admits it, and Biden's defending it. So I'm not a fan of Iran. It's terrible. And I'm worried about all the Hezbollah fighters and sleeper cells in Europe and in the UK and the United States. So I'm simply pulling back, looking at this. Why did Israel stand down? Why did Israel create Hamas? Because by having this outside enemy that attacks, it helps unify Israel. Look, it wasn't a thing when I came out against Netanyahu saying we're going to use all the Israelis as guinea pigs and we're going to test drugs and see if they work. I was against it in Singapore and Australia and Canada and the U.S. and everywhere. I don't look at it like, oh, it's the Jews, so I'll have a different policy. I said, this is terrible. I can play the clip of Netanyahu saying, I'm using Jews as guinea pigs. We'll be the center of drug production in the world because we're going to have the people opt into being guinea pigs. And that's not an anti-Semitic thing. I'm saying that's very immoral. That's out of control. I know the leftists want to get rid of Netanyahu. I don't know if Netanyahu got set up. There was a stand down below him or whether he ordered a stand down. There was a stand down. So those are the real world things I think about. Take 9/11. No, because I watched it on TV. They said, we're going to blow up Building 7, 47-story building with the FBI and CIA in it. I know that there were Israeli agents shadowing the so-called hijackers. I don't know exactly what happened with 9/11, and I have looked at all the angles. I don't think Israel shot a missile into the Pentagon, but there was no plane wreckage. A missile was fired. So when I talk about Mossad, we all know Mossad, MI6, CIA, Interpol is the same thing. At the top, those agencies all work together incestuously. So I don't see that as Israel or America or the UK. I see it as the intelligence agencies. And Fox News did report they arrested these Israelis dancing up there on the building watching the towers collapse. I'm not saying they went and blew it up. My central theme has not been that Israel ran 9/11. I'm simply saying that all these governments get more power out of terror, more power out of crisis, more power out of insanity. Just like if we get hit by Hezbollah or Hamas, all these Islamics coming into the U.S., there'll be no discussion of who let them in. It'll all be just lose your rights. The border's wide open, but my balls, and like you talk about, my tiny pee-pee, will then be fondled at the airport. So to me, I have a pro, you call me a white supremacist. I'm a human supremacist against the AI, against the New World Order, against the globalist, against the fentanyl, against the glyphosate, against the GMO, against the 5G. I don't look at it as Jew, Christian, Muslim, Palestinian. I look at it as people. I don't look at Xi Jinping and then hate the Chinese people. So that's where I am. And people will say, oh, Jones hosted this Zionist. He's with the Zionist. Or Jones hosted Kanye. He's with Hitler when he was clearly having a mental breakdown. That is not. I'm really trying to have a large, very, very informative debate. We're going to break in a minute. Go ahead.
Come on, Alex. These are just the most pathetic excuses. You're not a humanitarian. Cut the crap that you're against globalism. You're against humanity itself. you defend the murder of Jews. You blame the Jews for their own murder. You say that they're going to get terrible PR. You know, the one thing I do respect about you amidst your extremely checkered past and the disgrace you brought upon yourself by denying those 20 beautiful children and 6 educators who were murdered in Sandy Hook, the one thing I respected about you is that you went to court to fight to get custody of your children after a divorce. Let me ask you a question. What if someone had, God forbid, and I'm sorry to have to bring this up, come into your house in the middle of the night, forget about custody, and murdered your children and beheaded your children and burned your children alive? You're a pretty tough guy. What would you do?
I would seek out the people that did it. I wouldn't carpet bomb.
What would you do?
I would get mad.
What would you do? Nothing? Would you be afraid that your neighbors would condemn you by getting mad? Would you talk about your frickin' popularity? Would you worry about your social standing? No, you would protect your family. Stop telling us Jews that we have no right to protect ourselves and our lives are worthless.
Jesus Christ. It's so crazy. So I agree with the vast majority of what Alex had to say there. I don't agree with him that unfreezing the Iranian $6 billion or whatever it was constitutes funding Hezbollah and therefore funding Hamas. And, you know, no, that was their money. We had frozen it. So that's a silly talking point, in my opinion. But the vast majority, like the overarching framing and thesis that Alex was pushing, I agree with. I think that this is very probably going to lead to more war, more potential for domestic terrorism in America from angry Islamists that have now once again been given a reasonable argument as to why we're the great Satan. I don't like any of that. I want this process to stop. I don't want to be robbed to fund the death of innocence. Like, all of this is very fair, in my opinion, as to not having an animosity towards either side in the conflict, but rather not wanting to be involved in it. And I think it's also a very humanitarian perspective. You want to see the war brought to a close. But how does the rabbi respond? He goes, "What would you do?" No, you, what would you do? And it's like, Alex answered it perfectly. But because he answered it perfectly, he asked him again. Because the first answer that Alex gives is, "Well, I would go after the people responsible. I wouldn't carpet bomb." Exactly. That's exactly the argument that I've been making for 6 months now, is that you go after the people responsible. You do not blow up tens of thousands of innocent people. You can't. You can't do that. And if you do that, yeah, it's going to look bad. It's going to be bad for PR. And I think what I realized after watching this godforsaken interview with this godforsaken human being is that the main framing that he and the Netanyahus of the world are trying to perpetrate and perpetuate upon us is that if you question anything that they do as a response to October 7th, you don't like Jewish people. Which is so unbelievably absurd, and yet it carries weight with a lot of people. A lot of people don't speak out about this stuff because they don't want to be accused of that. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, I've been called so many terrible names over the past 3 years since I started doing this show that I'm just kind of I'm inoculated to it. I don't care. Like, my principles will supersede the pain and anguish that comes along with labeling me things that I'm not. But because of that, I'm able to actually analyze these things in a way that I'm not going to be cowed by false labels and smears. I continue to believe that Israel had every right to respond to the people that were responsible. The million plus innocent people in Gaza, they do not bear the responsibility of what Hamas did on that day. It was planned in secret. They were not polled. They were not given a referendum or a ballot to decide, do we want to attack? No, they did not. They were not. Now, many of them morally support Hamas because they feel absolutely oppressed. And I can also relate to that. But that does not justify the attack on innocence. It never does. It never will. This is why I can condemn both Hamas as well as the IDF's response, because it has amounted to the death of thousands of innocents on both sides. It's not acceptable. It's immoral. It's reprehensible. So the attempt of this framing, though, is to make it so that you can never question, no matter how far the IDF and not Netanyahu and the Israeli government take it, no matter how many innocents die, no matter how barbaric it is to have driven these people, despite telling them that Rafah would be a safe haven, all the way, they are at the Egyptian border. It is the end of the world for them. A huge barbed wire, wall and fencing that they can't get out. Nowhere to go. They have already traversed all the way from the north, all the way to the south. And every step of the way, every time they migrated down, they were told, you'll be safe here. Okay, now you got to go. We're bombing here. Now you got to go. You'll be safe here. Now you got to go. We're going to bomb here. Now you got to go. Now they're at the last spot. Where do they go? There is no answer. Because there is no answer. They have nowhere to go. So they just get fucking bombed into oblivion. And we're supposed to sit here and say, October 7th, what Hamas did was evil. So everything that happens now is fine. That's not how reality works. When we got attacked on Pearl Harbor, not okay. When we nuked Hiroshima and Nagasaki, fucking not okay. It's just not moral to kill tens and hundreds of thousands of innocent fucking people, and it never will be. And the fact that you're going to run on the legacy of the Holocaust and the incredible injustice and the horrific nature of that, all of these innocent people wiped off the face of the planet because of their religion. Or because of not the religion. They didn't just go after Jews. They went after a lot of people. But just millions of innocent people killed needlessly. If you're going to run on that legacy and then use it as justification to kill countless innocents, fuck you. You're not a good person, okay? And you can give me all these labels and you can call me an anti-Semite. You could say I hate Jews. None of it's true. You're the bad person. Not me. I'm the one advocating on behalf of stopping the death of innocents. You can call me whatever the fuck you want, because I'm not going to stop. Because I know it's wrong. And I think deep down, so does he. And anybody with a fucking soul left in their body has to know it's wrong. You cannot kill innocents to this scale and think that you're still in the right. And this is why I'm so fucking pissed at the Austin Petersons of the world that talk so glowingly about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I really think it's one of the most, it is one of the worst moments in human history. One, it unleashed nuclear weaponry. And two, it was targeted at largely civilian populations. It is so reprehensible. And people justify it. They go, yeah, well, then we would have had to do a fucking land invasion. And how many Americans would have died? First off, I don't think that's true. I think the Japanese were preparing to surrender. But two, it's not okay to kill hundreds of thousands of innocent people in a flash. It's fucking super evil. And I think that the only way that you can actually justify this type of behavior is to have totally mindfucked not just yourself, but the entire world into thinking that your enemy, which is Hamas, is now embodied by all of Palestine and all of the Palestinians. And you must portray all of them as being subhuman, because that's the only way that you can justify what's happening in Rafah right now. I know I've stopped talking about this because I just get exhausted by it, to be perfectly honest, but it is really do or die time for the fucking Palestinians, folks. Like, they are, it's the last city. They have nowhere to go. And they're being bombed now. And we're funding it to the tunes of billions. And it's sick. It fucking really pisses me off, if I'm being totally honest. It's really, really sad. It's really sad. And I feel like we're watching another Holocaust in real time. Yes, it's much lower scale in terms of body count. But since he said that one one IDF soldier or one Israeli is just as valuable as 35 Americans. If you want to put it on percentage of population, we're talking about a huge percentage of the Palestinian people that have either been killed or injured or are on the brink of starvation or are currently being bombed in Rafah. It is fucking horrific. And there is no exit strategy. Because of his framing, they really don't have an exit strategy. There is no, like, where's the mission accomplished banner ever going to fly on this? I don't see it. Like, you're always going to have, because Hamas does have bases that are hidden under buildings and shit like that, you're never going to actually get rid of all of them. So where's the finish line? And this is why people are thinking, okay, if it's not a, if you don't want to call it a Holocaust, if you don't want to call it ethnic, if you don't want to call it genocide, well, then it looks like ethnic cleansing to me. I don't know how you're going to differentiate, especially after you've abused these people and starved them and killed so many of their fucking friends and family. How are you ever going to welcome them back into the world of the civilized? Like, as much as I'm concerned for these people, I don't want them to be immigrated over here either. Because then you're jeopardizing my family. Because some of them will undoubtedly be fucking very angry. Justifiably. Now, they won't be justifiably angry at me or my family because I fucking opposed it every step of the way. But because of this collectivist nonsense where we get blamed for the actions of our government, they could rationally use the same bullshit logic and say, Clint's responsible for everything that happened to Gaza. No, I'm not. But when you work in these collectivist, you know, you're responsible for the actions of your government mindset, well, then, yeah, I guess I am. It's ridiculous. It's infuriating. It's heartbreaking. It's tragic. It has to stop. All right. Last clip, and then we'll get out of here. This was Alex Jones' coup de grace, in my opinion. He hits him with the, well, you'll just see.
I didn't bring up the USS Liberty. The Israelis have testified in court, and I've interviewed the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Moore, before he died, who was the head admiral at the time, when the Israel tried to sink that intelligence ship because it knew what was going on in Egypt. What do you say about the USS Liberty?
A Jewish admiral? Do you know that it was a Jewish admiral, Hyman Rickover, who built our entire nuclear deterrent? How dare you attack a Jewish admiral? You are, and by the way, I've been to his grave at Arlington. You know that a Jewish admiral with the name Hyman, doesn't get more Jewish than that, built the entire nuclear navy. Is that correct, Alex Jones?
Well, wait a minute. I just asked you about the USS Liberty.
No.
And
don't
the stand down. You bring up
the
Jews. There
don't
are loyal
attack,
Jews in our country.
Dual loyalty. You're attacking dual loyalty. Did Hyman Rickover, a Jew, build the entire nuclear navy?
Hey, Rabbi,
yes
you
no?
must have missed what
yes,
I said. Wait, I said I've yes interviewed no Admiral Moore.
I mean, unbelievable deflection. Like, it's so blatant. Like, I pray that even the most, you know, oblivious debate spectator would identify that he does not want to answer that question. Why did Israel blow up the USS Liberty? Why? Eventually, after his entire rant, a few minutes later, he finally says it was an accident. That's his justification. So at least he acknowledges it. He did acknowledge it after accusing him of blood libel and being an anti-Semite for the 3,000th time in an hour-long interview. This dude is a really bad person. Like, I don't know if he's fucking doing inappropriate shit with his grandkids or any of that. I have no idea about any of that. It's weird. For sure it's weird. He legitimately runs a sex shop with his daughter. He's written books called Kosher Sex. By the way, throughout the interview, I didn't clip most of this because it was pointless, but throughout the interview, this dude shills his book and his fucking dildos and his butt plugs 5, 6, 7 times. I mean, he is such a grifting scumbag, and he's advocating for one of the worst tragedies in my lifetime. I have no respect for him. Like, I have negative infinity respect for this guy. He's one of the worst people I've ever encountered in my life, and I honestly feel bad for the Jewish community, if that's a thing, because I know most of them don't want him to be speaking out on their behalf, allegedly, because he is not doing them justice. He is a terrible representative for this war and for the nation of Israel and for the Jewish community and all that. Terrible. Terrible dude. But shout out to Alex Jones. To be able to stay jovial and to not just start cussing and flipping out. Oh, man. Oh, man. I don't know if I could have done it. I probably could have, but I don't know. That was very, very insulting and so duplicitous. Mm. Anyways, sorry I couldn't put this episode on YouTube. As you could tell, it was topics that we're not allowed to talk about over there, and also with a guy that you're not even allowed to hear from over there. So I did the best I could. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please do hit the like button, hit the subscription button, most importantly. Try and get me to 10,000 on Rumble, almost at 20,000 on YouTube. Go subscribe to both right now. Do that. And then, if you could, leave a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That really helps with the algorithm so that more people can tune in and listen. And if you're watching, make sure you subscribe to the RSS so that you never miss an episode. Because, like, regardless of where I end up putting the video, because sometimes I put it on Rumble, sometimes I put it on YouTube, it will always be on the RSS. So that's the easiest way to never miss an episode, and also to let you know that there's a new episode so that you can then go to whichever video platform you want to watch it on. And yeah, I read the 5-star reviews, so if you want to get a free ad read, that's how to do it. I'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Welcome to Liberty Lockdown. Please scan your barcode. Your liberty ain't gone, but yeah, it's on hold. Where did it come from and where did it go?